4, from Putney Mainline Station to Putney Heath, 30 minutes. On the left-hand corner of Putney High Street and Upper Richmond Road is Zeta House, now an estate agent's, which in 1938 opened as an upmarket and opulent department store, complete with restaurant and bakery. The store was described by the Wandsworth Borough News as the height of luxury, with beautiful soft carpets, air-conditioned cloakrooms, and silver and gold decor. On the house is a gilded sundial placed there by the Putney Society in 2000 to mark the millennium. It bears the trademark swan of the society, an oar, and the legend, "Time like an ever-rolling stream." Bennett described Farl's experience of the Upper Richmond Road.
There were York hams 8 feet high that a regiment could not have eaten in a month, shaggy and ferocious oxen peeping out of monstrous teacups in their anxiety to be consumed, and spouting bottles of ale, whose froth alone would have floated the mail steamers pictured on the adjoining sheet.
Before setting off up the hill, you may like to visit the site where polar explorer Lawrence Oates was born, 309 Upper Richmond Road, now commemorated with a Putney Society blue plaque. Laurie Lee, 1914 to 1997, describes finding a snug little room over an eating house in the Lower Richmond Road, in his autobiography As I Walked Out One Midsummer Morning. However, given the reference to the railway, it is more likely to have been situated on the left side of the Upper Richmond Road. Lee, who was 19 in 1934, found work as a labourer in Putney and enjoyed the comforts of bubble and squeak, liver and bacon, toad in the hole, meat pudding or meat pie at the cafe. It was in this room, which overhung the railway and rocked all day to the passing trains, that Lee first started writing and won a prize for a poem he dashed off with a sixpenny postal order. Immediately to the left, walking up Putney Hill, just past the bus stop, is number 11, The Pines, which has a blue plaque commemorating the poet Swinburne.
When the hounds of spring are on winter's traces, the mother of months in meadow or plain fills the shadows and windy places with lisp of leaves and ripple of rain, and the brown bright nightingale amorous is half assuaged for Italus, for the Thracian ships and the foreign faces, the tongueless vigil and all the pain.
Swinburne regularly walked to his favourite pub, the Rose and Crown, with fellow writer Watts Dunton. On the left of the hill was an enormous ground and mansion called Lime Grove, in which lived Edward Gibbon, who wrote Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Sir William Lancaster, former mayor of Wandsworth, who helped found Putney Art School and endowed many buildings in the area, including Tooting Library, lived up the hill in Lynn House, which stood on the site of the modern West Point. If you plan to walk up the hill to the heath, consider the fact that in 1914 you could have boarded a horse bus. From 1901, Putney had a motor bus service, including the numbers 14 and 37. According to Osbert Lancaster, Putney Hill's immense residential dullness was occasionally relieved by a steam omnibus bursting into flames upon reaching the summit. The Green Man at the top of the hill dates back to 1700s and almost certainly retains its original building. In the 18th century, footpads such as Whitlock and Brown frequented the Green Man to waylay wealthy travellers. The more recent times, great train robber Bruce Reynolds and Gordon Goody were regulars at the pub. Of all the great 18th century houses, the Fireproof House, or Wild Croft, to give it its later name, was the most curious. The site of this house is now occupied by blocks of flats called Wildcroft Manor. two structures associated with the house remain. The first of these is a rich pair of wrought iron gates on Wildcroft Road, which were the main gates to the house. The other is the Hartley Memorial Obelisk, which was erected in 1776. Sir Richard Phillips, who saw the fireproof house, explains the Hartley invention.
When I saw it, it was filled with workmen who were converting it into a tasteful mansion, adding wings to it, throwing out verandas, and destroying every vestige of its original purpose. One of the workmen showed me the chamber in which, in 1774, the king and queen took their breakfast, while in the room beneath, fires were lighted on the floor, and various inflammable materials were ignited, to prove that the rooms above were fireproof. The alterations making at the moment enabled me to comprehend the whole of Mr. Hartley's system. Parts of the floor having been taken up, it appeared that they were double, and that his contrivance consisted in interposing between the two boards sheets of laminated iron or copper.
Close to the obelisk is the Telegraph Public House, which commemorates the signal station set up here in 1796. The Admiralty set up four signal chains between London and the ports of Deal, Yarmouth, Portsmouth and Plymouth. The station at Putney was part of the line to Portsmouth and Plymouth, a shared line which divided into two on the South Downs at Beacon Hill. They were put up since the war with revolutionary France had greatly increased the need for more dependable and rapid communications with the naval ports. One member of the Putney station, Seaman Wood, left an account of the station to a former head of the Putney Library. He explained what happened when a smoke did obscure the station at Chelsea Hospital. The message was given to a local gardener who ran down the hill through the huddling village, over the bridge to Fulham village, and so along the King's Road through the fields of Chelsea. For running this marathon in a specified time, he received a shilling. In the late summer of 1818, England's most famous landscape painter, John Constable, who enjoyed painting on the heath, made the pencil sketches of the signal station and of Bristol House in Putney Heath, which are in the Fitzwilliam Museum, Cambridge. A tinted drawing of Bristol House, derived from the sketch, is in the Victoria and Albert Museum. Putney Heath has always been a popular beauty spot, and has changed little over the centuries. In 1871, an act was passed which invested control of Wimbledon Common, and Putney Heath in eight conservators, three who were appointed by the government, and five elected by the people living within the common rate area, which contributed by means of a rate for the upkeep. There are also many large mansions on Putney Heath, such as Lord Bessborough's Parkstead, now Manresa House. Further across the heath, you can reach Wimbledon Windmill, built in 1845, with its nearby tea rooms. However, there was another open trestle post mill, built near the Portsmouth Road in 1613. The miller, Edward Hall, was horrifically murdered the following year by three of his servants, who bludgeoned him with a pickaxe as he was sleeping. His crime?
His natural inclination was to be sparing and miserable with his housekeeping, which procured the hatred of his servants and family.
In the 18th century, duelling rivalled fox hunting as the upper class's favourite blood sport. Putney Heath was a popular venue due to it offering a quick getaway down the Portsmouth Road. And in 1798, Tory Prime Minister William Pitt was challenged to a duel by George Tierney, MP for Southwark. Britain was at war with France. Tierney objected to Pitt's financial bill to increase the size and power of the navy. Both fired pistols, but nobody was hurt. Pitt shortly after introduced income tax for the first time. The most notorious of the highwaymen was Louis Jeremiah Abershaw, usually known as Jerry Abershaw. He was the terror of the roads in this area. He had his headquarters in the Bald-Faced Stag on the Kingston Road, near where the Putney Vale Cemetery is today. In 1795, he shot dead a constable sent to arrest him in Southwark. He was hanged on Kennington Common, and his body was displayed on the heath. Clearly the origin of the story that there was a gibbet on Putney Heath. Tibbet's Corner at the top of Putney Hill has given rise to wild speculation. It is commonly believed that the place was named after a highwayman who operated in the area. Another suggestion is that Tibbet is a corruption of gibbet, which fits in nicely with the highwayman theory. Both theories are wrong, however. Tibbet was the name of the footman of the second Countess Spencer. He lived in the lodge previously situated at the entrance to Wimbledon Park.